listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. So glad that you have tuned in to 89.9. This is your good news station. And of course, the good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I am so glad that God so loved the world.
Amen.
That he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is great news, David.
That is ultimately the best news.
It's great news.
Yes.
And we are the good news station. Karen, glad to have you with us right here at the board today. And, you know, we'll have some other people linking up with us and joining us. And I think, first of all, we're going to let you, David, just kind of introduce the interview that's coming up.
Yes, several weeks ago, I was able to interview a gentleman by the name of Phil Hardy. And Phil is he's a multi-talent, but the talent we're talking about today is he's an author. He's written two westerns with a Christian theme, the character, and it's...
As in Western
back
books,
in the 19th century.
Stories?
Stories, uh-huh. And the main character. I'm reading the first one right now, and... in that book, you see the character, and this, I love it, these are real people, right? James Harding is the character. He loses his family, a terrible loss, some bad men, and he goes on later a revenge journey. And the book shows that, but he also shows the people he meets along the way. There's that subtle but regular witness. Jesus is speaking to him. God is speaking to him, and I haven't finished the book.
But this is a Christian author.
It's a Christian author, and the theme is very biblical. And I can't say everything because I want people to read the book.
Sure. What is the name of the book?
It's called Vengeance is Mine is the
Vengeance
first book.
Vengeance is Mine, okay.
And then Lone Oak is the following book. And this is By Phil Hardy.
Okay.
It's after his conversion. So I had a chance to interview Phil here in the studio, and so that's what you're about to hear.
All right, let's go directly to it.
Okay.
Well, this is David Francoeur. I have the pleasure here at WCNO of interviewing a really neat guy, Phil Hardy. Phil, welcome to WCNO and Wednesday Live.
Well, thank you very much, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
I tell you, we've talked on the phone several times and had other conversations, and friends, what I'm going to introduce to you is a man of God who's going to tell us his God story, and also... he's going to tell us what he's been doing lately, which is really, really exciting, and that is writing Christian Westerns. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into that in a minute. But first, Phil, tell us about your God story. How did you meet Jesus, and what did he do to you after that?
Well, I like the way you put that, what did he do to you, because he does do to you and through you.
Amen.
But what happened was when I was probably 8-10 years old, somewhere in that ballpark, I loved fishing. I would do just about anything to go fishing. And my cousin and my aunt and uncle lived on this mill pond, and I would go and stay the night there and go fishing. And one of the rules of staying in that house that my aunt had was if you were there on Sunday morning, you went to church. So I went to church because, like I said, I'd do just about anything, go fishing.
And I understand.
Went to church during the Sunday school and the youth church, they were talking about heaven and hell and what the difference was. And you know, they asked some of the questions, do you ever tell a lie? You ever steal anything? Well, no, I never. And then they kind of break it down a little bit. You ever take a pencil that wasn't yours? You ever did? Oh, yeah. Well, guess what? That's sin.
Yeah.
And so as is normal, everybody's sitting there praying with their heads down and everything afterwards. And my cousin's sitting next to me and he elbows me. He says, so? I said, what do you mean? He says, so? So what? Well, do you want to go to heaven or hell? Mm-hmm. Well, being at least semi-intelligent, I said, well, I definitely don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. He says, so what are you going to do about it? Well, that was the day I made a decision to accept Christ as my Savior. Since that time, he's used me in a lot of different ways. And growing up in a family, other than my aunt being a Christian, and them being Christians, my mom and dad were not Christians. So I was in and out of different churches, things along those lines. Joined the service when I was 19 and learned a bit about what Scripture had to say in the Psalms and the Proverbs and found out that what's in Scripture has application for our life today. It's not just old stories. After that, I've been a Sunday school teacher, a Sunday school superintendent, served on the deacon board for a short time at one of the churches I attended, and then moved to Florida. I've been a Sunday school teacher at Tropical Farmers Baptist Church now for a couple of years, and God's been using me in those areas. So.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great story, and I see how God, he got you like he gets most people. In the contrast between eternal life, you know, where are you going to spend eternity? Because we're going to spend it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And he drew you, obviously you were drawn to Christ through that. You didn't want to spend time with the devil. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
No.
But, and from that, your faith grew and you got more involved in, I think, the basic things that Christians do for discipleship, the worship, the prayer, the study of the word.
Yes.
And life just expanded in Christ for you.
It did, definitely. And it's interesting, as a Christian, a lot of Christians, they love the New Testament, which is great because that's the gospel. Mm-hmm. But my favorite studies has always been the Old Testament and what all took place there leading up to Christ. And so that was some of the studies that I really enjoyed. Of course, now as I'm teaching, I do book studies and they're from different areas in Scripture. So,
well, you know, we sort of tend to go all back and forth. There's a lot of material out there that will edify us.
Yes.
And you're doing that. And I, well, all of that now, and this is what really captured my attention when I heard of you through our dear friend Barry Elsebrook. Yep. He's the one that connected us. And he told me, well, Phil writes Christian Westerns. And I said, I kind of did a double take. You know, I said, what? I never. But then I thought, well, hey, it's a great genre for writers. And you shared about, I think, why you got started.
I started writing actually because I was bored one night. I worked third shift at a residential facility.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got done cleaning the house and prepping for the next day, you could do a few different things. You could play cards. You could play board games. Mm-hmm. You could talk. Or you could read. You couldn't play the radio. You couldn't watch TV because you might wake the residents up. And there was nothing to read one night. So I actually wrote the first chapter of Lone Oak that night because I was bored.
Well, other authors may have had the same moment. I mean, you weren't doing something else that distracted you.
Yeah.
So now Lone Oak was your second published book.
Actually, it was published first.
It was published first.
First, but it takes place chronologically second.
Okay. So for our listeners to know, there are two books that you've written thus far. The first one is Vengeance is Mine, which is the introduction of the James Harding character.
Correct.
And then Lone Oak is the chronological follow-up to that book.
It's actually the chronological end to the series. We're still working on some in between right now. So.
Oh, okay. So So these two books are going to bracket James Harding's life?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Well, that answers one question I had, is have you got any more books planned? Yeah. Do, which is good. Well, I know you don't want to give away the end, but what can you tell us about the character James Harding in the what would be the first book, Vengeance is Mine?
Well, in Vengeance is Mine, James Harding is a teenager. He's like 16, 17 years old, and his family is wiped out by some outlaws, and they think they have left him for dead as well. Mm. Cheyenne, who live in the area, pick him up and treat him, thinking, well, if he lives, he lives. If he doesn't, he doesn't. So what? No big deal. He's not part of the Cheyenne tribe. But in the end, he does survive, and what he does is, because of what happened to his family, he tries to hunt down all of those people who are responsible for killing his family. Mm. He calls it justice, but it's blatant revenge. So I'm not going to go too much more into it than that, other than to say James Harding makes some changes.
because we're encouraging people, this is to engage with this work because of the dimension of Christ in it, the gospel, the biblical values that are going to challenge worldview. But you know how that's going to happen. Of course, we're not going to release that information. We want people to buy the books.
Definitely.
And so talk a little bit, Ben, about Lone Oak. As to what we're going to be seeing in that book.
Well, Lone Oak is James Harding. After what took place at his ranch, mm-hmm. He doesn't feel like that's home. Mm. Even though it is his home, even though he still owns it, it's a very big business. So he actually is kind of a tumbleweed, and he wanders mm-hmm. around doing different things, and he wanders into the town of Lone Oak. His only desire that night is for a soft bed, a roof over his head, and a meal he didn't have to cook. He never counted on running into Elizabeth, but as you and I both know, mm. God has other plans.
Absolutely. Yeah, and so in this book, we have kind of a love interest that moves into deepening relationship and stuff like that. And that's probably more we want to say, because that probably links the end of that story. But
So in Avengers of Mine, there's actually a little bit of a love interest as well, but we'll leave that one to for people to figure out when they read the book.
So now I'm excited about this, because I love to see God in all literature, mm-hmm. So what do you want the readers to get out of these books?
Well, with Vengeance is Mine, I want people to see that God is much more able to take care of that justice mm-hmm. than we are. Mm-hmm. The only thing we could do as humans is actually take the life of the other person or put them in prison. God is much more able to execute justice. However, God mm-hmm. is also the one who provides that salvation for us who deserve exactly what that person we see as evil deserves. And so that justice is there, but also the grace of God is there too. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what I want them to get out of Vengeance is Mine. Now, in Lone Oak, I want them to see that we as Christians, we have struggles, internal struggles, and we are not perfect. None of us are. And so I want them to see in James Harding a character they can relate to, but also a character who tries to truly honor God in all that he does.
And you made a point, and I think it's a good one, that this is a real character. James Harding, I mean, he's got real life. He's a real human being with all the foibles, idiosyncrasies, and faults and sin of a human being. And so tell me a little bit about presenting that character in the book that way. What do readers need to look forward to?
Well, a couple of things you'll see initially is he's very patient. He's dealt with town bullies, things along those lines throughout his life. And so he does do that. However, he he does have a bit of a temper, and it explodes at times. Sometimes very unpleasant for those who are on the receiving end. So I want them to see that, but I also want them to see when he's dealing with something like that, that he doesn't just let that human nature take over. He turns it over to God at times. Sometimes he doesn't, but at other times he does, and when he doesn't, he goes to God in repentance.
Well, that's a different approach in almost any novel that I've read, but it presents the Christian character in the heart of his life. And I like the fact that he's a real person, because I relate to those characters better, because I'm a real person and I'm a character. And I bet you are too.
I think we all fit that category.
Yeah, we certainly are. Well, you know, you were talking earlier about how the Lord has led you throughout your life once you met him. And I see you're from Michigan originally.
Yes.
But this is not Michigan. How did you get here?
A car.
A car. Okay. Okay. I'm really glad to hear that. Walking from Hope Sound would have been a real long one.
It was definitely.
Yeah.
So anyhow.
What got you into Florida?
This beautiful young lady sitting right behind me.
Oh.
So I moved to Florida, and I am married to my beautiful bride, Ruth.
And I did mention earlier, but Ruth is with us. She's the silent partner tonight in our interview. But is there possibly any way that in Lone Oak that James Harding meeting his love of his life, that you're bringing Ruth's character into that book by any chance?
Well, I think in the character he meets, there are a lot of the personality and things along those lines that most men would find attractive. And I definitely find those attractive in my bride.
Boy, that was a great answer, Phil. and true, I can
true,
tell.
Definitely.
I can tell. And that's really, well, what do? We write what we know, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't write what I don't know.
Yep.
So you come to Florida because of Ruth, but behind that was obviously the Lord, because God has gotten you situated, roots sunk here in Florida. You're in a great church, in a great town, and I'm assuming you found your current situation as being very encouraging for your writing career.
A lot of times. There are definitely discouraging times, but that's life.
Life isn't always a series of, yes, how wonderful what you did.
Yes.
Yes, no, there's some negatives, too. Mm-hmm. You plan, by the way, I want to get back to Live Oak, Mm-hmm. I keep thinking, I used to live near Live Oak, Florida.
Oh, okay.
And I don't anymore, thankfully, so Lone Oak is the book. Now, you've written a screenplay for a movie for this book, haven't you?
I hired somebody to convert the book to a screenplay.
Okay.
And we do have a screenplay, and we're hoping to raise the funds in order to make a movie from it.
Okay. How far along are you in that? Can you talk about who you've talked to that people might know that could be interested in?
Sure. Yeah, there's some different folks out there. Tony Senzanici, I just spoke with him yesterday, actually. I've got to send a copy of the script to him. Les McDowell, who, if people have ever watched the Gold Rush lottery in Florida, he is the miner in the Gold Rush promotion. He was in the initial promotion for Salt Life. He was in The Hanging of William Caine, and he has Dry Creek Productions over on the west side of the state. So he's looking at the Whitey McKay character, and we would love to have him on board. He's read for it and did an excellent job.
Wow. Well, you've made some progress then. This is not just a pipe dream. You've got a screenplay. You've talked to some people. I know you put feelers out for some other people acting and producing and folks like that. But you... and I would just like to say, it's certainly appropriate to say to people, to our listeners today, if you're someone that God has blessed with resources and God has put it on your heart to maybe think about helping to fund a project like this that will get the word of God out in a very exciting and ever increasingly popular genre today. Yeah. People are going to see on the silver screen a character who's being a Christian, and so I'm just going to say, you know, if you want to get in touch with us, and we'll get in touch with Phil.
I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, I think there's more of these things are happening, and I like the idea of a kind of a rough and tumble real guy that just brings Jesus to the situations that he's in. So, well, let's hope and pray for that.
Definitely.
What else do you want us to know, Phil? We got a couple of minutes left.
A couple of things. You had mentioned a rough and tumble character that brings Jesus to mind.
Yeah.
I find it interesting because a lot of people think of Jesus as meek and mild, which he was.
Mm-hmm.
However, he was also rough and tumble. It wasn't some little wimp that went in there, plated the whip, and drove the money changers out of the temple. That was a real man's man, and that is Jesus. So he is a man's man. However, he is the one who saved us by shedding his own blood for us.
Amen.
So that to me is very important. You had mentioned the contrast between heaven and hell, and when I was confronted with that, actually, one of the questions that James asks a would-be gunfighter in the book, Lone Oak, is, if I have to kill you, where are you going to spend eternity? Well, folks, I ain't intending to kill you, but where are you going to spend eternity?
Wow. And that's right, like a cutting-edge question. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's really cool. So. I like that. People, I'm just going to encourage people. Now, how can they get a hold of the book? There are two books. Again, Vengeance is Mine and Lone Oak, both written by Phil Hardy, the James Harding character. How can they get a hold of those books?
Okay, there's a couple of different ways. Barnes & Noble, on their website, you can look there, look for Lone Oak and Vengeance is Mine by Phil Hardy. Amazon, they're available there as well. You can also actually just go to my website, author, Phil Hardy, author like a writer, philhardy.com, and you can order them right there, and I will send you a signed copy to your home address, so anywhere in the lower 48.
Understood.
So if you've got a cousin, a friend, a neighbor, a family member that lives out of state, but you'd love to send them a copy of it, go ahead and order them online. Make sure I got the address so I can go ahead and get that to them.
Excellent. And I think I got... Amazon, I've got them ordered through that for me, but so there's several ways they can get it, but only a signed copy if you go to the website.
Yes, or one of our local book signings.
Our local book signings. Do you have any coming up soon?
No, actually, we just finished our last one just a couple of weeks ago, and we haven't got any more planned at the moment, but we'll definitely be doing some more soon. They are available as ebooks as well. So you can get them if you use a Nook or any of the ebook platforms. They are
like
available there.
Kindle
as well.
Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In fact, I noticed that, but my Fire died, so that's why I get a hard copy. Well, Phil, for number one, I don't think this is your first and last time with us, and down the road maybe your schedule will allow you to come in on Wednesday live and be live. And we'll have more pepper you with more questions, but our time is up for this segment. So I just want to again thank you. I'm going to say again the two books that Phil has written, Vengeance is Mine and Lone Oak by author Phil Hardy. If you're a Western fan or you think you ought to be, then you go and get a copy from Amazon or your website again.
Author. PhilHardy.com.
Okay. And you, I believe, are going to be amazed and excited to read these books. Bill, thank you for coming, brother. I appreciate it. And I know we're going to see you soon.
Thank you very much.
Keep your dial set right there. It is 89.9 you're listening to, WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And we do have Ma and Pa right here, ready to share with you today some great wisdom. You know, for the last few weeks, Paul's been busy following up on the relationships he made while he was in California. The churches God had him plant there are doing quite well. However, he has put off several important repairs to the equipment on the farm because of his schedule. These are not things Maul is able to help with. Because of this benign neglect, Paul is facing a serious cascade of failures, which he could have avoided had he not been focused in other areas. Conflicted, Paul seeks solace and direction in a conversation with his best friend, Ma.
Hey, Ma, you got a mini?
Yeah, goodness, Paul, you sound like the devil stomped on your joy. What's going on?
Well, I just did a tour of the farm. At first, since I got back from California, I am overwhelmed with the sorry state of things.
Well, you know, I was so busy with my chores around the house, I really didn't take note of the stuff beyond these walls. I figured you'd take care of everything when you got back. And nothing broke down that I could take note of.
Well, I don't blame you, Ma. You surely had a lot of balls in the air while I was gone, but I gotta tell you, I sure got a ton of things to fix.
Well, so why don't you just take that time to fill me in? I might be able to give you some help, too.
First off, I'm going to take full responsibility for everything that went wrong, because I forgot to turn off the air compressor in the barn.
Well, doesn't that thing shut off when it's up to pressure?
Oh, it's supposed to, but it didn't. So the pressure plug blew out, which is a good thing, I guess, but it came out with such force, it went right through the barn wall.
Well, I don't see too much work there. I mean, all you got to do is get a new pressure plug and cover up that hole in the wall.
Well, that ain't all. The plug apparently went so fast it penetrated the wall of the pump house for the North 40.
Okay, so now you gotta fix up two walls.
Well, when the plug went through the wall, it hit the on switch for the pump, and it was still running when I checked this morning.
Okay, I see. So you turned the pump off, and the North 40 is probably flooded. So just wait for the water to percolate, and then it will evaporate.
Oh, that I will do, Ma. But remember, the North 40 has a downward slope to the east.
Of course. That's what we planned when we graded that land, so that any excess water would just drain right into that pond.
Well, exactly. But there's so much dirt and debris went into the pond that several fish died.
Oh, my. But that pond will settle down, and then those dead fish will be eaten up by those turkey vultures, I bet.
Well, on that point... You remember our land, there's such a glide path to the county airport. Well, while I was out at the pond looking at all them dead fish and the swarm of turkey vultures enjoying the feast, some fella from the NTSB came up to me. Seems he's investigating a bird strike that forced a business jet to return to the airport. It landed okay, but one engine was blown out, and the back of the engine was coated with fried turkey vultures.
Oh, dear. Are we in trouble for all that?
Oh, I asked him. He said no. He was just curious to see why all them vultures were in there. But then he said, you know, it's a shame that plane couldn't get to their destination in time. There was a state senator on board who missed a crucial floor vote on a very important bill. His vote would have passed it, but not being there, his opponents killed the bill.
Pa, all this is almost too much for me to process. Too much to think about.
Well, there's one more thing. The straw that might break the camel's back, if you will. That NTSB feller told me the Senate bill, what got smushed, would have given folks like us higher tax credits for making farm repairs.
What?
Yeah. Anyway, listen, Ma. Here's my take on all what's happened. This whole string of unintended consequences started because I forgot to do something. And since I started my walk around on the farm this morning, I've been getting deeper and deeper into self-pity and self-blaming. But while I've been talking to you, Lord done spoke to my heart about that. I mean, all that damage is regrettable, but it didn't begin because I wanted it to. Yeah, I've got a lot of work to do around here to make things right. But I didn't plan for any of that to happen.
Well, I see that. Like I said earlier, if I can help you with some of that, please let me know.
Oh, I sure will. But, you know, I ain't going to start till after lunch. That NTSB man and I got to be better acquainted during our conversation. And you know what? He's coming back so we can do a little fishing on the pond after a bit. Oh, the vultures ate most of the dead fish and cleared out, so it should be peaceful. And And I'm grateful to God for his peace through all this. I remember what Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Paul is clearly a spiritually mature man to have received this release from the burdens that such a string of events can cause. The fact that Jesus invites his disciples to drop their burdens in his strong and loving hands is always before us. And for you, our listeners, his invitation is before you today. Are you being crushed by events beyond your control? Remember, nothing is beyond God's control. Give him your worries and receive his wonderful peace. Well, it's always good to have Paul and Maul, Maul and Paul with us right here in our studio, and so glad that they could be with us. Good day. And what a great message of trusting God with all of those challenging issues that press their way into our life.
Amen.
Well, we're looking for a report in just a few moments that is going to come to us from Tim Popatic and also Ken Hobbs from down in Palm Beach County. A great prayer event took place, and of course this song is entitled Revival, and we'll be right back after this. Keep your dial set right there on 89.9.
Only you, only you can.
Encourage you, keep that dial set right there at 89.9. This is Wednesday Live, and we definitely are believing God for a revival. I want to welcome Ken Hobbs and Tim Popatic with us. Welcome, brothers.
Hey, Jonathan.
Good morning. We are doing awesome here, and even better since we have you both online. I am so sorry. This is the first event in a while I've missed, and it sounds like I missed a really great outpouring and work.
Wow. You know what? We saw some miracles, and we saw some signs and wonders, for sure. You know, it's crazy. The last two events that we've done, we have had that weather system has blown through and really created a lot of havoc. And so, you know, I think most people saw the rain was coming and they just said, hey, we're not going to try to weather the storms. But I'm telling you, it was a beautiful night. Both nights were beautiful nights. We had, you know, a couple hundred folks that came out for prayer, and we were able to see the Holy Spirit just drop in just a mighty way. And it was really, really exceptional just to kind of see what the Lord's doing there in downtown. We saw homeless folks coming to Christ. We saw folks who were just coming up off the streets, just coming to Christ. We had people that would hear the music over in the bar area at Bradley's, and they would come out to the field. We even had somebody, we had like three or four folks the first night get baptized. I mean, there was a lot of activity happening, and it was really a beautiful night, both nights. But I'll tell you, Johnson, the first night when we hit the field, and you know how we typically do it, is we've got this time of prayer. One of the pastors from Revive Church, who's in charge of their healing ministry, has been suffering with battling cancer. And he came that night with his wife. He's kind of stricken to a wheelchair at this point, at this stage of his suffering. And he kind of rolled up there, and we brought him up on the stage, and Doc began to pray over him, and the Holy Spirit just kind of dropped. And it was really wild because he gets out of his wheelchair and just begins to walk around the stage. It was just so wild to see how faith begins to build as you begin to see the miracles and the wonders. And you know, one of the passages that I'm reminded of is in Acts 14, when you've got Paul, and Paul and Barnabas are going to these different towns, and it talks about how the Holy Spirit just fills them up to begin to do these signs and wonders. And it says it's because it's a demonstration of grace, God's grace. And when you look at that word grace, it comes from the word charis, charis. And it's amazing to understand that and unpack it. It's God showing his kindness and his sweetness. And it's, can you imagine in that moment when Barnabas and Paul are going in there and they're just teaching and preaching, and then the signs and wonders of the Holy Spirit just kind of starts flowing through there, and it's just God saying, hey, I'm just putting an exclamation mark on my word and what's being preached, and I'm showing my kindness. And it's that same kindness and that same sweetness that we experienced on Saturday and Sunday, just kind of flowing through downtown West Palm. And just to see the hand of God. There was another woman that took the stage shortly after the pastor who could not see. She had blurred vision, and we began to pray over her from the stage. And I mean, it was just miraculous to see what God did after that. So it was all those kinds of stories, I mean, just over and over again, you know, how people were touched by the hand of God. So it's, you know, it's a season of miracles, signs, and wonders right now. I think that we're observing and watching and getting to participate in. So it was wonderful, Jonathan.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. Now, what about the prayer preparation and prayer walk and all of that?
Let me add into that. Okay. That was amazing. I'm
now, who is this? This is Ken, right?
This is Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Yes. it was awesome. As far as on Friday afternoon, we actually had over 88 people that registered for the first prayer and what I call invite evangelism training. And we had Mike Tobey from the Heaven Guy, which I know you've had him on before, and Prayer Stations, you know, Nick Savoca from 50 years with YWAM and everything. And we had our first prayer training, and people were able to get some great ideas and, you know, help and get some knowledge from the churches and some of the people, because it was one of the first in-depth things. And then we did our prayer walk. So we walked all over Clematis, downtown, went over to City Place, and we had a whole weekend of invite evangelism. We had over 5,000 invitation cards that were handed out there. And like Jim said, you know, some of the people with the crowds, you know, weren't there is what we anticipated because of the weather, but it turned out that the weatherman lied again. Because it was 90, they said 96% chance of rain, not one drop, the field was dry, and it was the most gorgeous full moon, especially Sunday night. And, but God, what the impact, I think we had some of the biggest impact this one. We got deliverances, had a couple people that we talked about there. And then we actually had one of our volunteers, because we had about 50 volunteers, people that worked and served the whole weekend. And she actually came forward. We had one of our volunteers make a wooden cross. And we had our first prayer wall for Pray South Florida, and that's what we're going to continue. And we had people, matter of fact, my wife Kimberly was able to sit there, and they came and they would write their prayers and nail them to the cross. And one of our volunteers actually nailed to the cross that she was praying for her husband to come to the Lord, and that he might even come to this event. And within an hour and a half of her nailing that prayer request to the cross and having that prayed over there, had found that her husband came and sat with her, heard Deborah and Chauncey Crandall's message, and even came forward for salvation right then. And had, as a matter of fact, had such a we even got a picture of both of them in front of the cross, and Chauncey was able to pray with them. It was amazing, amazing. Salvation, baptism. Team Challenge actually sent a women's home, that over 30 women actually came up for us, and three of them got baptized and accepted the Lord right there on the spot. So we have the impact was definitely there, and we're praying for it to continue these prayer movements.
This is powerful. There are so many that are a part of the prayer movement looking for God to bring revival. I am so thrilled that along with prayer, you as a team bring together some action to actually give people an opportunity and to give, whether it's the lost or the church or those who are sick, whatever the needs are. I mean, there isn't any need too big. And I love to hear Dr. Crandall say, come in an ambulance. You know, come however you are, whatever your needs are, and God is big enough not only to take care of him, but God wants to take care of him. Well, brothers, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate that, and please keep us on your first notice. So when you have something else that's in the works, maybe you have some other dates now. Do you have some other dates you want to put out today, or will you get back to us?
Well, we will get back with you, but we have been asked by Church United to bring the prayer movement, a prayer event down to Broward. So we are looking at some dates to actually go down to Broward, and we want to talk about maybe, you know, like we were talking about before, Jonathan, like moving this up and incorporating up here to the Treasure Coast as well.
Amen.
Too, because I think if we can do these prayer movements and things all over, because prayer changes things, and I think it can change the impact and change the community.
And we're ready here in Martin County, so, you know, set your gun sights up this way. We're ready to go. We'll make it happen somewhere.
Let's bring the churches together, and let's make it happen. I agree. And we appreciate you and WCNO so much for supporting us and going forward, and we're looking forward to what God has this year. We're going to revival to South Florida through prayer.
Amen. Tim and Ken, God's best blessings to you. Give our love to Dr. Crandall, and we'll talk to you all real soon.
All right, take care.
God bless. Bye. Well, and here we are. We have had some amazing things happening. Karen, the other day, you were here, and we're talking about revival, talking about the move of the Holy Spirit, and I want to just welcome Keith Masters, who has just come in.
Hooray!
And Keith, pull that mic up there. We're going to hopefully have a couple minutes for you to jump in here in just a moment as well. But the other day, had some longtime friends step in to the station, and they just began to share their heart, Keith,
talking about addiction. In fact, the lady, she began to share, Kim, how she 30 days ago was trying to get high. And she said, I took enough drugs that it should have and could have killed me. But she said, I could not get high. And what I remember of the story is I realized I don't need to get high on these drugs. I need to cry out to Jesus. And so she did just that. She cried out to the Lord. She and her husband had been separated for some time. He also had ended up sliding off the trail and it had a little time in jail. And also it had a lot of drugs, and he was 6 months free. She was 30 days free. And they're just sharing with me. I said, come on in. We're going to go on air. And so I said, you know what? Someone's listening today that's just wondering, will God forgive me again? Will he accept me? Does he have love toward me? Is he going to? And so we just went on air. Karen, you were here.
Yeah.
And within what? We had one of our friends and listeners send us an email, and I think we should just share that to encourage you to know that when you give and support this ministry and you pray for this ministry and you interact with this ministry, people are listening, and God knows exactly who needs to listen when the ministry is going forth. Just share that, Karen.
That's right. And, you know, you had brought them in here probably about 10 minutes before 12.
It's true.
And, you know, they just shared a little bit about their testimony. So at 12:25, I was looking in the email for something, and I happened to come across one of the prayer requests that came in online. And this is from a brother, C.H. We'll call him C.H. And he says, thank you for Tim and Kim's testimony and prayer. That was not expected, yet needed for me at that very instance. I have a heavy load of trial to go through next week. And he said, I know God will hold my hand through this trial. I thank God for WCNO and breaking normal protocol of scheduling to allow Tim and Kim to speak. The way I look at it, it was God speaking directly to me. Mm. Thank you.
Wow.
And that, because Jonathan, the Lord prompted you to do that. And these were just friends that you had known.
Yeah. Prayed for them for years and years. Prayed for them for years. Didn't know where they were. Didn't know if they were alive. Didn't know what was happening in their life. Didn't know, I didn't know what was at all, what was going on here. And God just brought them by at that time. Keith, I am so glad you're part of this ministry.
Amen.
I was listening to what you shared in one of your recent ministry spots about the upcoming Super Bowl and how God just released the word through you in that. And I'm not familiar with that stronghold, that addiction. You called it an addiction, and you spoke about how serious that is. I don't know what's on your heart, but God brought you in here before we're finished, and so I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm going to start to cry because it's just such a joy to be part of this ministry. You know, it's just such a joy. The joy that Jesus just gives us in our hearts, it's just amazing. The addictions are, you don't understand that it's an addiction because it's just something that you enjoy doing while you're doing it.
Right, exactly.
And the problem is that after you lose, and I lost a lot, right? After you lose, that's where the hangover comes in, and you're like, and then now you got to go and pay for it, and now you got to do this, and then it takes a couple of you try to recover, and then all of a sudden you're doing it again next week. You're doing it again in the next couple of days because you forgot about the hangover from the losses. So you don't see it as an addiction.
Yeah.
But it slowly destroys your life.
Yeah.
It slowly destroys your life. And you always think, oh, okay, I'm not going to do it again. But you just, you continue to do it. And God, Jesus broke the chains of my addictions from alcohol, from drugs, from gambling, from women. It was just chains literally falling off my body, and just I had no smoking, I had no desire to do any of these things ever again, and it was just so blessed.
That's the power of God.
The power of God.
Yeah.
the power of God.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the power of God in Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord. And those words, be strong in the Lord, right? When the temptation comes, sometimes we forget and we succumb to the temptation, right? Jesus fell down with the cross three times, right? Because we stumble.
Yeah.
But he forgives us. And going back to that letter, right? And to those people that stumbled.
Yeah.
They stumbled.
Yeah.
And Jesus forgives them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an awesome thing. And, you know, the blame and the shame, those are two tools. You know, Satan brings those out. And those are like boxing gloves that the devil has, blame and shame.
Right, but you know what? The cross punches is grace and mercy. Grace and mercy, that's the knockout punch.
Yeah, that is
right?
It. That
right?
is
that's
it.
The counterpunch.
Yeah, that's it.
People have to remember the counterpunch is grace and mercy.
Yeah.
Jesus is mercy, right? And he loves you.
Amen.
And it's endless.
So what's happening on the street? You're
I got a really God story. Talk about a God story, right?
you always have God stories. I love it.
It's amazing. So my tire, I had to change tires. I had to change four tires, and I went and got tires ordered. Blah 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 blah. I was having a problem. One of my tires had a big puncture in it. 70,000 mile warranty. For some reason, I'm only getting 35,000 miles on my tires. Couldn't be because I'm going faster and the rotation goes faster, but that couldn't be the problem.
No, I'm sure.
So the guy that I got my tires from tells me, gives me the toll free number to call customer service. It's an 888 number,
right?
Right? I call the 888 number, and all of it, I'm talking to this person, to a woman. I get connected from the operator to a woman from customer service on an 888 number, and she says, "Can I have your name, please?" And I said, "Masters." She goes, "Masters." She goes, "I know that name." She goes, "Masters in Boca?" I said, no, I'm in Del Rey. She goes, "Pastor Masters in Boca. Tide Cleaners, she says. She says, "Every time I needed to talk to God or every time I was praying, you would come into the store and we would pray. This woman is now on the phone with me on an 888 line, right? She left Tide Cleaners. She went to work for the tire company. Right? She's in customer service. And she said, I was just thinking about you."
Wow. Only God.
Wow. Only God.
Only
and
God.
You can't deny it.
Wow,
you can't.
Awesome.
You have to open your eyes to anybody that doesn't see it.
Yeah.
Amen. You know? And she goes, "Give me your phone number. I got to call you. I got something going on in my life." Prayer. I mean, it was just amazing, you know?
Wow.
When I hung up the phone, I'm just like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
God got a lot of traction on that one.
And he showed me some mercy with some refund.
Well, that's awesome.
That's great. Wow.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the timing of God, when we're in step with the Spirit of God. How God connects and works in and through our lives is just absolutely amazing.
And you know, Jonathan, the thing is, don't doubt that connection.
Yeah.
Don't doubt the connection. Stay in the connection. And let me tell you, the battle is real.
Yeah.
But continue fighting and stay in the connection no matter what.
Right.
No matter what.
Amen.
You look over your day and you go, okay, I don't know that anything really significant happened.
Right.
You know, I don't know how many times you went into Tide Cleaners.
Right. Right.
No. You know, but it's like, what's God doing with this? And then you're on to your next day.
Well,
but God doesn't forget, and God is able to, you know, like God was going through his Rolodex and said, "Oh yeah, Keith Masters, he needs his tires to wear out." So
I mean, when you put it all together, right?
I know, it's amazing.
And I was sharing the story with the guy that I bought my tires from, that I got my tires from, and he said, because he knows Jesus, and he goes, "And do you see how everybody played a part in this?" So my wife, I was talking to Deanna, my wife, about it, and she goes, because it was the problem was with just one tire, And then, right. And then she goes, well, is the warranty for all the tires? And I said, you know, I don't know. That's when it came up that I had to go back to somebody else, ask the question, then they gave me the number. So God put everybody into play, you know? I mean, what, you know, I didn't think of, hey, let me find out if it's for all four tires.
Right.
Right? I was talking to my wife about it. And then she says, well, you know, then I go back to this guy, right? You know? Yeah. So, yeah.
By then, you're on a roll.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It keeps you rolling, right? It keeps you rolling.
There you go. We've got traction to keep rolling.
Dave, yeah, it was Dave, amazing.
You're
it
helping
amazing.
Us out. All right, so Super Bowl is coming.
Yeah.
What do you have to say to
you know, jeez.
Is this a man thing, or do ladies get caught up in this too?
You know, they've got, I don't know how many women gamble per se on the Super Bowl, spread points, you know, I mean, that coin flip, you know, heads, tails, it's the best bet on the field, right? 50-50, right? But, I mean, you know, so, I don't have, you know, I'm just thinking right now, I don't even have a desire to even, you know, go that way. But with the Super Bowl, I'm looking to enjoy the game. Yeah. Just have fun. Yell at the TV for the calls that that the referees make, right?
Yeah.
Just yell at the TV. And just really watch the play of the game.
And celebrate your freedom.
It's just celebrate my freedom.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, I mean, every Sunday you're glued to the TV watching watching the football. You know, that play happened, you know, because I bet on the other team. You know, I don't, that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, right.
It's freedom, just like you said. Mm-hmm. It's so great. It's so great. I don't even think about it. It's just, you know, rest in the Lord. It's just awesome.
There you go.
Right?
Wow.
You know, when you talked about suicide, and that whole realm of the enemy's despair that he dumps on people, where they just get to the end of the road.
Right.
And, you know, suicide is not only outside of the church. Despair is not only outside of our listeners. We have people listening today that are dealing with a very real devil, maybe different circumstances, maybe the addiction is different. But the road is the same. It ends up at a dead end without surrendering everything to Christ.
Right.
So, Keith, why don't you just lead us in a little invitation for those who are listening. You might want to speak to them for a moment, and then lead us in a time of prayer as we close out Wednesday Live today.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence, and we just thank you, Lord, for being part of our lives. And we just pray, Lord, we lift people up who are in the darkness right now and who are struggling. We just pray, Lord, for your light, for your mercy,
for your
mercy, Lord, to shine upon them. And supernaturally, Lord, and if they're questioning, because people do things that, you know, gambling is, they don't have the money, but they think that they're going to win, so they bet anyway, Lord, just to hold back on them so that they have peace. Bring peace to their hearts, bring peace to their minds, Lord. And we just pray, Father God, for your goodness to shine upon them, Lord. Just show them the truth and the way and the life through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And only you can do that. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. And we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the deliverance of these addictions, Lord, that only you can do.
Amen.
And we just pray for the chains to break on these people, Lord.
Yes, right now.
We pray for the chains to break on these people. Now, Father God, in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Let them see you. Let them know you. Let them come to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Karen, give out that phone number. Somebody may want to call in here today. They may want to talk to Keith or one of us and want a moment of personal prayer.
Yes, that number is 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100.
And remember, the big win is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's you know, the win you're looking for.
Yeah, we're going to be doing, real fast, if I can, we're going to be doing a segment, and the segment is I Know a Guy, and Jesus is that guy.
There you go. There you go. Amen. Well, we do have prayer and chair that's going to be coming up soon. You're going to start hearing some spots about that. And, Keith, we are looking at replacing